Hey guys, my guest tonight, Nicole Strickland, is going to tell us about her adventures aboard the Queen Mary and her other investigations. We'll be right back. Grab your popcorn and snacks, find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin. Hey everybody, welcome, 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 welcome. My name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. I'm also the owner of the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team, based out of Sacramento, California. We're 45 strong up and down the state, which means if you think you have a paranormal thing going on, we can help you. It might take us a couple days to get here, though, because California is a big state. And in the event that we can't get to you right away, we do have mediums on staff who can call you and talk to you about what may or may not be going on. And if it is paranormal, they can kind of calm things down until we get there. Either way, we're going to get to you. It might take us a couple days. All right, that being said, you can find us. Just Dr. Google us, and you'll find us everywhere. Facebook, YouTube, you name it, we're there. TikTok. And bringing that up tonight during the show, if you like what you see, please be sure to show us some love. Give me a thumbs up. Give me a happy face, some of those heart things if you're over on TikTok. You know, because that helps us with the FYP flow and keeps us going. So we are now broadcasting tonight. We are on Rumble, we are on YouTube, we are on Facebook, we are on TikTok, we are on Twitch. So we got it going on tonight. Excuse the air conditioner in the background. The heat suddenly just swooned right up again. And hello Marisa. And so we're having to use the air conditioning again, and it looks like for the next 2 weeks we're gonna be using AC until everything cools down. Summer's just trying to keep its grip on us. Tonight's show is going to be great. I love the Queen Mary. My guest has been on the Queen Mary several times, maybe more. And I've never really had the chance to go on and investigate the Queen Mary. I've always gone. In fact, when I went back, way back in the day, that's when they had their haunted walking tour of the Queen Mary. And they had doors rigged for the doorknobs to move and all kinds of weird stuff on there. So that's what I went through, but I did have an experience, and we're going to be talking about that with the legendary ghost of Jackie, the little girl. So, well, let me bring my guest in, and she can tell you about herself. She's been, you know, I always claim that I've been a paranormal investigator for 25 years, you know, doing this stuff. Well, you know, there's still some of us moldy oldies out there, and I call them moldy oldies, and she is one of them as well. She's been doing paranormal investigating for a long, long time. Let's bring her out and talk to her and get to know her a little bit. Here we go. Hello.
Hello. How are you? Thank you for having me tonight.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
It's always fun to talk to somebody else that has their own team, you know?
Cause it's I nice know. To,
like, share stories and stuff.
I know, right?
How long have you been doing this?
Oh my gosh. Well, I've had this interest like we all do, right? We mm-hmm. always say that we have this interest going back to childhood, or I would think most of us do. So that's mm-hmm. for me. Growing up, I always had this innate curiosity of the unknown. And so that stuck with me. I was born in Huntington Beach. I'm in San Diego, California now. Mm-hmm. And then when I lived in Las Vegas for a few years, I had some experiences that I really couldn't explain. My parents probably thought, oh, there she goes again with her imaginary friends. But now being in the paranormal, I look back and I think I probably did have some legit experiences going back as far back as like 4 or 5 years old. So this interest specifically in ghosts, spirit communication, haunted locations, historical locations, that stuck with me. So growing up, I would read anything I could, watch anything I could. And then when I was in my undergraduate college at the University of Arizona in 2000, it was 2001, actually, I had a very profound experience with my grandmother's spirit. I've shared this countless times on shows. It was just one of those culminating experiences that almost, I say it as it gets you out of the lab and gets you out into active investigation. So that's really when I started to investigate. It was in the early 2000s, right after that. And I worked with other teams here in the Southern California area. And then I knew I was going to develop my own team. And then I did that in 2009, San Diego Paranormal Research Society. So it's just, that's how it all started for me. And I guess the rest is history. And here we are. It's just, it's been an amazing journey. And it's been awesome to meet people like yourselves who have a passion and dedication to this work. So
I grew up similarly to you. I saw things in the house. My family thought that I had this real vivid imagination.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I kept saying, no, I'm seeing faces. I'm seeing this. This is going on down the hallway. Mm-hmm. You know, and they kind of laughed it off. You know, oh, yeah. You're having a nightmare. Oh, you're having this. And I knew better. Then I went through my teen years. It kind of settled down. And then, you know, it's because we're doing other things.
Of course.
You know, in our teen years, and we don't, you know, we're sports, we're doing all that stuff.
Right.
And then I used to, because I was a latchkey kid, because my parents were working all the time, I would come home and have dinners, you know, make my dinners and stuff. Then I started to see stuff again.
Right. Mind calms down.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so I went through that. So, of course, I'm here 25 years later. You know, when I look back, I finally look back this year, because I always thought it was like 10 years, 10, 15 years.
Time flies by when you're having fun. I looked back
like about a month ago and went, wow.
Yeah. Woo. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, you know? I commend people who have been in the field this long, because it really goes to show how dedicated they are.
There's not a lot of us really left either. There's not a lot of us left.
I know. I know what you mean by that. I think I do anyways. Yeah, the ones that really take it serious, that is, you know. Yeah. So I hear you and agree.
I mean, I'm watching people on TikTok, and, you know, I hate to say it, you know, the different people, and there's a couple of influencers that have now started ghost hunting. It drives me nuts.
I know.
It drives me nuts, because I'm like, you know what, buddy, if you were out there with me.
Oh, you know, me too. The same thing. And, you know, I'm very vocal about it too. And sometimes I think I'm too vocal about it. But then I have to remind myself, you know what, you're advocating for this field.
Right.
You know, there's this, people think that thrill seeking is the exact same as paranormal research. And it's like, mm-hmm. No, it's not. Yeah. There's so, as you know, I don't need to sit here and tell you this, you know what goes into it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's I hear you.
You know, you're anal when your own team members will make comments, because I'll run recorders in all the rooms, right?
Yeah.
Taped to the walls.
Right.
When you get the recordings back, and it's a joke for them, because they think it's funny, but they'll sit there and go, you know, she's not going to like the way we're doing this. We're not counting 1, 2, 3, you know, you know what I mean? And you get that back on the recordings. But I mean, if you find something that works, do it. You know,
that's what I say.
It takes years to get to a point where your team, you have your team the way you want it. You
know, absolutely. You have your people
trained the way you want it. And you handle the public the way you want it when you're dealing with this stuff. People don't realize how much work goes into it.
Oh, I know. And there's so many different facets of it. And a lot of people, they just don't understand what goes into it, the work and time that's involved, but also the respect and reverence aspect as well. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so that goes a long way. You know, my team, we're very big on this golden rule aspect. And, you know, what you put out, you get back. And it really helps tenfold.
Well, these thrill seekers, too, they don't realize that if they go into somebody's house, you know, they're dealing with somebody's life. They're dealing with somebody's mental state. You know, you have to be really, really careful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of those reasons why I won't say that I can't say that I won't do this, but I'm very hesitant on taking cases that have been done by a bunch of other teams, because it's so convoluted and you have to sift through everything. Not to say that I won't, but you know, it's just, it's one of those things where it's a case by case basis. But if so many other teams have come out, or if the homeowners are the type that maybe they're not satisfied with this team, so they're just going to jump around to the next, is it really worth it? I don't know.
Have you ever had any cases come your way? We have a few times where the team before you has messed it up so bad that you have to come out and do the damage control.
Absolutely. It's a lot too with like a private residence, even you're, like you said, you're dealing with family dynamics and people's mental states and whatnot. And so in a way, it's a lot like social work too.
Yes.
Because it's not just the paranormal investigation aspects and that methodology. You're right. dealing with the family as a whole. So you have to put, you know, you have to add that into the whole equation. So it takes time.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the Queen Mary a little bit. We had that conversation via email. I love the Queen Mary. I wish I could get back there and investigate. I wish I could get back there. Maybe I will at some point.
Yes.
I remember when I went. In fact, my producer is in the chat room right now, Marisa. She was with me. This was before I was an investigator, even though I had experience as a kid. And we were walking along the deck on the tour, coming out of one of the restaurants, you know, one of the former restaurants.
Right.
And she looked at me, and as I'm walking, I feel my stomach do a flip.
Yeah.
And back then, I had no idea that I was being goosed by a ghost, but that's what I call it.
That's cute. I like that. And, that's cute.
And so she looked at me, and she said, "Are you going to sit down? Your face is really green." And I said, "Okay." You know? So then I sat down, and the guide says, "What's wrong?" And I explained everything to him. And he says, "Oh, wow, that's Jackie."
Interesting. So what did you ask him why he thought it was her?
Yeah.
Per se.
What he told me essentially was that she had a tendency to try to attach herself to women, to older women. Of course, I was in my 20s, but, you know, because she was trying to find her mother aboard the ship, so she would go to older women. So she had run through me. And she had done that several times before on that tour.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How many years has it been since you've been aboard?
Oh, my God. People are going to know how old I am.
Oh, no. You know, I'm 45. You know, it's cool. You know, age is just a number. That's what I say.
Yeah, probably back in the 90s sometime.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's changed. It's changed so much. I actually started... I haven't just investigated several times paranormal wise. I've done a lot of historical research, and I've talked to former crew and passengers and whatnot. I've written 3 books on the ship. The Queen Mary is my second home. The ship means more to me. There's such a special spot in my heart for the Queen Mary. I'm actually going there this Thursday, the 26th. Is the 90th anniversary of its launch. So it was launched September 26, 1934. So a bunch of us are getting together and they're having events and whatnot. So it's going to be a special time. But I started investigating it about 20 years ago. And Jackie, now at the time, I didn't know it was her. But the very first time I spent on board, this would have been my first night on board, would have been in 2005. And so I remember I was on A deck, one of the hotel decks on forward port side. And I was exiting out of my room, and something said, "Turn around." And when I turned around, I saw a little girl. Now, at the time, I didn't know it was Jackie, but I later learned and came to know that my first experience, that was Jackie. So I looked, and there she was standing right in the middle of the hallway. She didn't say anything, but she put her hand up and started to wave, and then just completely demanifested right before me. And so there's so many experiences I've had on board and captures. I say that it's very, in terms of evidence, it's very photographic and friendly in terms of photos, very photo friendly. I can't talk tonight. And very audio friendly. So a lot of disembodied voices, EVPs, things of that nature. So it's amazing.
Let's talk about that a little bit if we can. You know, my father was in the Coast Guard in World War II.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so he had seen the Queen, you know, in dock and stuff.
Really?
During that time, yeah. And he knew everything there was to know about that ship. And I remember it was like walking around with a tour guide with him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I bet.
You know, with all the stories. Yeah. And like later on when all the stories of the ghost came out, everything made sense with what he talked about.
Right.
Like when she rammed that other ship. You know?
Oh, at the Curacao.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you can hear the voices, the disembodied voices of the sailors. Yeah. Everything he said made sense. And so I knew a lot about the history. That's why I really wanted to get back there. You know, I think you should.
That would be amazing. And there's a lot of changes, too, that I've seen over the years. And, of course, they still have their tours. One of my favorite ones is the Paranormal Shipwalk. My friend Matt, prior to COVID, for several years was the actual paranormal investigator on board. So he would lead a weekend paranormal investigations, and these were designed, he ran it like an investigation. Now it's the Gray Ghost Project. I haven't gone, you know, experienced that myself, but I've heard good things. But it's just amazing. And there's, you know, I get asked a lot, you know, well, why do you think that ship is haunted? And there's just so many reasons why. I mean, history, I mean, it's the most legendary, has probably the biggest historical narrative of any ocean liner ever. So history, and just there's so many other reasons, you know, psychokinetic energy, and just some of the what the ship was made of, you know, the iron and the manganese bronze propellers and the simulated mother of pearl quartzite and the pool and all this stuff. You know, it's interesting. My friend Tony Ashland, he was a crew member. He was a tour guide actually on board. For several years, he actually moved to New Mexico, and he's an amateur radio operator. And one day we were talking, and he said, you know, Nicole, I think the Queen Mary is one giant crystal radio. And I said, my goodness. And so he explained, he's like, well, it has all the components. He said it has, you know, the miles of copper wiring. It has the grounding plane and the bridge. It has the quartzite and the ceiling of the former first and third class pool. So he's like, yeah, I think it's one big giant transmitter and receiver. And, you know, that totally makes sense. It's just, it's insane. It's, there's so many experiences on board.
When you think about, you know, the ship itself, where do you think is the most active area, if there is a most active area?
Oh, good question. And this is based on my experience. You know, there are investigators out there that have even spent longer than me, and we all have our own opinions. I would say pretty much anywhere on the ship is fair game. You can have experience. Some places are just more highly traveled to, so they get more reports. So the places on the tours. So the former first and third class pool is a big one. The aft engine room, the old boiler rooms, public spaces, some of the public rooms. There's a spot too, R deck forward, right forward of where the old Titanic exhibit used to be in the 90s, forward of that. And it's right above, we call it the rope locker room. So it's right above where the Queen Mary would have sustained that damage in the war in 1942 when she rammed in the Curacao. And so that area is really active. We've had some good ITC in there just because the reception's really hard with ITC. But we've had some good captures there that are historically relevant. So what I mean by that is if you're talking about the history and you're asking questions, you'll get like intelligent responses pertaining to that. So even the hotel decks. So people that are staying on board, you know, so many, I've had so many reports of experiences in rooms, from feeling someone sitting or laying down on the bed to knocking on the door to rustling around in your luggage, for example, footsteps, you name it. So, but I would say, honestly, the entire ship is fair game. I've had a lot of experiences generally in the forward A and B deck areas for some reason. So it just depends, really.
I just think it's fascinating. What a lot of people don't realize, too, is it is I just wonder how much more activity there would have been had they not gutted the bottom of the ship out, you know, to pump it with mud.
Right. Yeah. And it's there's so many. I mean, when you think about it, she was built as an ocean liner on the North Atlantic route. Then with with World War II outbreak, she had to be renovated and retrofitted for that. And then after World War II, she had to be almost kind of put back to her, for the most part, former ocean liner status. And then even coming into Long Beach, they had to do more types of retrofitting and things like that to get her into an actual, because I believe she's classified as a building now. And so there's all this stuff, and it's all these renovations and changes over the years. And even now in modern times, it's changing the rooms and using them for different purposes and all of that. Yeah, it plays into it, I think. Definitely.
And you think about the movie history, too. A lot of the movies that were filmed on her. I think she's been the Titanic once or twice.
I absolutely do. And it's interesting you bring up the Titanic, because They're often compared to one another, the Queen Mary and Titanic, and even on the Queen Mary's maiden voyage wasn't on May 27, 1936. It was, I believe, a couple days later. Commodore Britton actually sailed past the exact spot where the Titanic sunk. So I really think in terms of potentially paranormal activity, that may have been the tap-in point maybe for some of the spirits from the Titanic. Sure. I've actually seen that era of, especially in terms of officer attire, I've seen that era of attire on board the Queen Mary. And I always tell people, if you see someone in officer attire and they don't have a name tag, that may indicate that you're seeing something ethereal. It depends. But yeah, I think the Titanic and the Queen Mary are similar in so many ways.
Right. I agree 100%. And, you know, because, I mean, there's not really an older ship left where they can get that kind of grandeur unless they build sets like they did with the, you know, with that last Titanic movie.
Yeah.
Other than that, to get that grandeur, you know, from that time, I mean, the Queen Mary is the place to go at that point.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, your group's out of San Diego, so there's a lot of places in San. There's quite a few famous places in San Diego that are haunted, and this one particular influencer I was watching over the weekend, they were at the Whaley House, but they were outside.
Oh, in the backyard,
outside the backyard.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about the Whaley House. That's always fascinated me.
The Whaley House. Now it is claimed to be, you know, America's most haunted house. I'm not so sure I agree with that. I think they're like the Villisca axe murder house probably rivals it. There are many other haunted historical homes that I think rival the Whaley House. A very pioneering family in San Diego. The house was built in 1850. So Thomas Whaley and his family were pretty much instrumental in Old Town, and family is very, very well known here. And in Old Town, San Diego is actually the birthplace of California. So it was one of the earliest structures in Old Town. And so a lot of paranormal activity there. I actually have been inside many, many times. I've never actually conducted a full-fledged official investigation just because they charge a lot. One of the teams here, they don't still do this to my knowledge. San Diego Ghost Hunters, they ran tours for several years, paranormal investigation tours. They still they do have a paranormal investigation tour now. It's ran by, I forget who it runs it. It's I want to say Ghosts and Gravestones. I could be wrong on that. But a lot of paranormal activity that seems to indicate, because my definition of a haunting is there has to be some sort of historical tie on for the ghosts and spirits that are there. There has to be some sort of historical connection. And you do get that with the Whaley family. Thomas Whaley has been seen in there on the top of the stairs. Yankee Jim Robinson, fined and sentenced to death there, died right there on the property. He was like over 6 feet tall, so he slowly strangled to death. He's been seen, heavy footsteps have been heard that are allegedly his. I've heard that. Their dog, their family dog, I believe the name was Dolly. People have seen the dog, heard the dog, claim that they feel like a dog's tongue, like lick their like ankles. Sadly, Violet Whaley, sadly committed suicide right there in the parlor on the courting chair. I think she died on the courting chair. She's been seen, heard. Young Thomas Whaley, I've heard from people that he loves to play with electronics. I don't know if that's true, but a lot of encounters and evidence that have been captured that indicate it's from the Whaley family. Okay. So, but with the Whaley House, it saddens me in some respects because they herd like cattle. They get groups in there day after day, hour after hour. And I sometimes feel like the family doesn't want that. You know, and so I think we're all intuitive. We can all channel, but that's just the feeling that I get when I'm there, that it's just almost exploited too much.
I have felt this way with historical places for a long time that, you know, if you go back to when we all first started doing this, it was really easy to get these to get these reactions and get these EVPs from these ghosts. And then over the years, because there have been so many people going to these places, the ghosts don't want to, I hate to say they don't want to play anymore, but they don't want to participate anymore because they're sick of it.
Oh, I get it. The same questions being asked, like an interview. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure you do this. I like to run sessions like a discussion based. I don't want to sound like I'm on a job interview, mm-hmm. you know, interviewing. What's your name? What's this? Are you male or female? I mean, to me, it's just like, and I used to do that when I started.
Sure.
And I'm not saying it's wrong, but yeah, I agree with you. It's just, they're so overdone. And I do agree that places can become way over investigated, and that creates, you have the authentic paranormal activity that was there prior to all these teams coming in. Mm-hmm. Now you have almost false hauntings or false paranormal activity from all the people going in, all the power of suggestion and all of that. You know this, and it's hard to sift through all that.
Well, there's a place up here in Auburn that that's called Latitudes that everybody's been going to for years.
Right.
It was across. And as things turn out, there was never a ghost there to begin with.
Oh my gosh.
The owners had started the story that it was haunted, and with all the paranormal investigators coming in,
yeah,
they left an imprint, and then you know, with their thoughts, and it all came from there, just like you say, those false ghosts.
And like tulpas in a way.
Yeah, yep.
That's
after all these years, we've all been going out there, then we find out that's what's going on. But I think that can happen, and I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I do too, and that's interesting. That's a good example that you give, because it goes to show, you know, the mind can create so many different things, and you know, it's hard because you're contending with people's claims and maybe what their opinions are, or what maybe they're projecting onto this. So it's hard to sift through all that.
And some of these owners, you can't blame them either, because it's good money.
You know,
the ghost hunters are willing to come in and pay, you know, buy meals or whatever and have dinners, or you know, or maybe they're charging for groups to go through, and so to them, to keep that legend going is a moneymaker.
Absolutely. Yeah. We actually did tours. It's up in Vista, California. So those that are familiar with San Diego, it's like sandwiched right in between Oceanside to the west and San Marcos to the east. And so we had tenure at an active, very well-known land rancho by the name of Rancho Buena Vista Adobe. So we did paranormal tours. We ran it like an investigation, but they were fundraisers, so you know, all the money actually went right back into the Adobe. And so that we did that for 10 years, and that was rewarding to be able to give back like that.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that that's something that, you know, the whole thing with this, getting into this, it's not to be on TV. I don't care.
I know.
I've come close a couple of times, which was nice, but you know what, it's to help people. It's to look at the history of places.
Right.
You know, that's what it's all about.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
What do you think? I ask myself this a lot. Do you think that the general public is almost catching on more to the being able, when I say by catching on, being able to identify more of like the sensationalism and all of that prior to maybe like 10 years ago? I think they're being able to start like, okay, you know, this isn't the way to do it.
I'm seeing a lot of, lately on the internet, I'm seeing a lot of dissatisfaction with a certain TV show. I'll leave it at that.
I think we all know which one that could be.
Yeah. You know, so the public is getting sharper with this stuff. The only trend that I've seen that sucks because of the TV shows is everything has to be dark and demonic.
I know. Isn't that sad?
It is. It's sad. And then when we get these calls in from people, they're panicking when something happens in their house.
That's such a good point. I've actually seen in our, specifically our private residence requests, I would say in the last, a little bit prior to COVID, not including some of the COVID years because we were, you know, didn't investigate during that time. But I would say for the past like 6 or 7 years, a dramatic increase in people thinking they have something malevolent or negative. Now that's malevolent and negative can be two different things, but it's sad. It's so sad.
And it's always, come out, clear the house, do a blessing, clear the house. And I'm like, we just can't come out and clear the house. We don't know what we're dealing with.
Right.
You know, that's the whole part of the investigation. And just like, you know, cleansing, you know, one cleansing doesn't fit all.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
This could require a Native American touch. This could require it. So, I mean, it's difficult. It's made the TV, you know, TV shows have really made it difficult. I know when I get emails from production companies, it's always, tell me about the Dork cases.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've had some of those too, and I just delete the email. I'm not going to even bother. Yeah, I delete.
It's amazing how it's changed. I always tell my friends this too. I says, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it was Uncle Bob in these houses, you know, and yep. Now it's turned to be demonic. So, yeah.
And again, but I think I'm seeing that the public is, like you said, right, becoming more, sharper and being able to identify, okay, this is a little BS right here.
So. There's some funny people on YouTube. I mean, there's some funny guys that look at these different shows. And it's hysterical to watch because it's everything that you and I would see, you know, watching these shows, and they're seeing them. I don't even watch those shows hardly. I think the ones that I appreciate are like 911, you know, the ones where the police officers are seeing stuff where you know that they're trained observers.
Absolutely. Those are real fascinating. You're dealing with, the police. They're of sound mind. They're really good, like you said, with observation. They're professional. Mm-hmm. So you know you're going to get something, I would think, the majority of time authentic from them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Axburger house. I've never heard of that one. Can you tell me about that?
Oh, you know, I'm not too sure. I don't know the history in depth, the Villisca Axe murder house, but a family was murdered there. And to this day, it's remained unsolved. And one of the little girls had two of her friends. I forget if they were neighbors or friends over. Mm-hmm. So it's in the Midwest. It's in Villisca, Iowa, I believe it is. And so very well known there. I have a lot of colleagues that have investigated it. Just very tragic. They were found bludgeoned to death. And they don't, to this day, do not know, to my knowledge, mm-hmm. who did it.
Mm-hmm. That's sad. That's sad. Yeah. It's really sad. That will leave an imprint on Alice, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely with that. So I just hope they're at peace. But me again, too. Teams go in there, you know, all the time. They
keep
stirring
it up.
That's right. That's right.
When you talk about, like hauntings and like you said, you know, the Whaley House has a reputation for being the most haunted location in San Diego. What do you think is the most haunted location?
That's a good question. It's hard to answer that because for me, I would say paranormal activity isn't constant. Uh-huh. So you may have a day of the week or a time during the year where this place might be more active than this place. Uh-huh. Generally speaking, Old Town, there are a lot of places there that are known to be very active paranormally. So you have the Whaley House, you have the Cosmopolitan Hotel, which was the original home of the Bandini family. You have many of the buildings in Old Town. El Campo Santo Cemetery is active. I'm not one to investigate cemeteries per se, but it's been desecrated over the years. So a lot of people think that that could be why it's active.
Right.
You have the Sarah Museum on top, Presidio Park up there. So that whole area is just really saturated with a lot of history and a lot of different types of paranormal activity from one location to the next. The Maritime Museum of San Diego, Star of India, Berkeley Ferry Boat, amazing places, with rich history.
Right.
Hotel Del, now that's an interesting one. Of course, with its history and with the different types of notable people that have gone there over the years, I would say yes. The main legend, claim to fame with the hotel is Kate Morgan. The story of Kate Morgan. Again, it's one of those locations, though. Is it haunted or is there just fleeting types of paranormal activity? But San Diego, I would say Old Town, definitely. Maritime Museum of San Diego. And then you have North County as well, like Rancho Buena Vista Adobe, which is not as known as some of the other sites. But with our tenure there, my goodness, did we get some great stuff. So, but again, I think Rancho Buena Vista Adobe. Let's see. So again, it's up in Vista, and there's two land ranchos up there. There's Rancho Guajome and Rancho Buena Vista Adobe. So I remember I mentioned the Bandini family earlier, their house in Old Town, which is the Cosmopolitan Hotel now. Mr. Bandini's daughter, I am blanking on her. I cannot think of her name right now. I hate when I have a brain fart. Oh my gosh. And I worked there 10 years as a doing paranormal tours. Oh my good. Oh my gosh.
It happens.
Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed right now. Oh my gosh. Oh, I am so sorry. Anyways, it'll come to me, but we had to, oh gosh, I'm so embarrassed right now. And I've even written a book about the place too. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so, yeah, so we had tenure there. So it's an old land rancho. So it was deeded actually to a neophyte or Native American by the name of Felipe Subria. Isadora Bandini Couts. Thank you very much. Oh, she's probably so upset at me right now. Oh my gosh. So anyways, so it was deeded as a rancho to a neophyte or Native American individual by the name of Felipe Subria in 1850. Mm. So what's interesting is throughout the years, it held several owners, many of these very notable Southern California pioneer families. Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting is Isadora Bandini and Cave Johnson Couts, her husband, who was also very well known in Southern California, he married Isadora Bandini de Couts. They owned the property, but they lived at the Rancho Guajome. But then they had a large family, and some of their children actually then were deeded ownership. Some lived there, some didn't. So it went through all these very well-known families. And so because of that, we think, you know, it provided a nice, rich historical foundation for why there's some activity there. Again, in terms of that definition of a haunting, I would say that a lot of the energies there, we've communicated with Isadora Bandini de Couts, Cave Couts Jr., Cave Johnson Couts, many other people that actually owned or lived on the property. So there's that historical connection. So, and then of course the land up there as well. You know, I think geology plays into it. But what's interesting is I don't know how you feel about instrumental transcommunication. I know it's experimental. I love it too. I think it can be a great research tool. We've had some very profound ITC captures at the Adobe over the years. We're talking like clear, historically relevant responses. And it's almost from month to month, because we would do these tours twice a month, actually, the same vocalizations coming through. And what's interesting too, if you were to type in on Google Rancho Buena Vista Adobe, you might hear about the alleged skeleton that was found, I think, in the late 20s, early 30s by an electrician who was installing electric wiring. So interestingly, Isadora Bandini de Couts actually had indentured Native American servant children to help kind of on the rancho and whatnot. So people think that the skeletal remains that were found are from a man by the name of Juan Gonzalez. We don't really know his origins. It's thought that maybe he was a Native American. So it's hard to know, but we're still researching that. But it's an incredible property. I cannot believe I blanked on Isadora for a second. I mean, that is so embarrassing. Oh my gosh.
So many cases, you know, just trying to keep those names straight for people.
Oh, man.
When we talk about ITC, the ITC that I have just been blown away with is the whole thing with the water. With the
paddle. Oh, yes. Yes.
I have gotten, and there's been several cases where we have been able to match pictures that we got in the water with historical pictures of the house.
Oh, that's phenomenal. I would love to share a story about that. That's phenomenal. It's like putting those puzzle pieces together. And when you can do that, that's amazing.
Did an investigation in Placerville, California. And it was a newer house, but they built a beautiful house, like a log cabin, only like two stories, you know, just this gorgeous house. And it was an older woman, and she would be there at night, and she would hear noises and see things and people and like a man moving around the house. And so we decided to do the ITC thing, which for nobody that knows how to do this, you take a black pan, fill it up with water, put a bright light on there, and take flash photos.
It's like water scrying, really, in a way.
And stir it, and the psychic or whoever will stir the water with their finger.
Fantastic.
And then you take your photos, and it takes forever to go through them because you got to figure all the images are like maybe a half an inch to an inch.
Right.
You know?
So
you
gotta, right.
I map it out. I'll start at the top and just, you know, work my way, turn it the other way. You know, it just goes
exactly.
So I pick up, I get the one shot, and it's a picture of a gentleman with a like a handlebar mustache.
Oh, wow.
Very clear.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, that's really cool. So did some research at the archive, you know, the Old Town Archives and stuff, and found out he was the original owner of the original house
that was on the property, amazing. And they had
a
photo of
him, so we were able to match it up, you know. So I've done, you know, there's been a few investigations where we've been able to, you know, like I said, match the photo with original owners.
See, that to me, I get goosebumps with that. And mm-hmm. going back to the Rancho Buena Vista Adobe, Allie's a dear friend of mine and team co-director and co-host of the tours. The Huntington Library in San Marino has mm-hmm. a ton of historical archives of the Rancho Buena Vista Adobe, even letters, handwritten letters that Cave Johnson Coutts, you know, wrote, like so many of these. So we spent 2 full days, and that's not nearly enough time to go through all of this, going mm-hmm. through all these historical archives. We were even almost with a few, I'd say 2 or 3 of our ITC captures able to, we would get these captures and we were able to verify certain dates and historical information from those captures. And that to me, when you can do that, that's just tremendous.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to put down the boxes, you know, the spirit boxes. I've gotten good captures with them. But I try to tell people, I said, you know, you're in the middle of a big city.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of radios and that going on. And the chances of you asking a question and the particular word that you're looking for popping up is going to increase. And so I tend not to use them unless I'm in a rural area. Because
yeah, that is very true. Right. That's actually a really good point. I even read, too, I think meteorite fragments can even interfere as well. And that so and it could be very subjective. And so that's why I look for those captures that seem intelligent and seem like they're what I term as historically relevant. Is it pertaining to like what you're discussing or what questions you're asking? And if you can get those types, that to me is very interesting. Some people that use the boxes don't like to use, they like to remove the static. I don't know what your opinion is on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of iffy on that. I think in many ways the static can almost help with the frequency of the responses, generate the energy for them to respond. I don't know, but it's hard to know. But I love the water. I've experimented with that a couple of times, didn't get really good results, but I'd like to try that more because water, I mean, you know, conductor of electricity, if spirits are made out of that, it would make sense. So,
well, when it hits, it hits. I mean, I've done investigations where we've been on old Native American land and that's what we picked up was feathers, you know, feathers even, you know, in the water.
Oh my gosh. Like, you know, images of them or actual
images of feathers.
Wow. Yeah. Oh,
in the water.
That's great.
Sometimes you pick up writing. Text will pop up, you know. So I mean, it's interesting to do. I picked up the image of a little dog once.
Oh wow!
A little Scotty dog, and then it turns out that the client had a little Scotty dog that died a couple months before that.
Oh my gosh!
And we picked up the image of that. So it's fun to do, you know.
It is.
I love doing ITC. I love doing EVP work. You know, it's so fun. In fact, last Thursday on the show, I was having computer trouble. Somebody was here with me. I'm not going to say because my family members that don't look upon this stuff favorably, you know. And I finally figured out what the problem was, and the EVP says, and it's a Class A EVP, and it says, that's the problem.
Oh, my good. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's the – oh, wow.
They're always here.
They're
watching us right now. It is
Of course. It's just energy. It's ubiquitous, you know, and I think that certain energies, especially intelligent, they know who can sense them. Mm-hmm. And with that, they know the people that can tune into them and sense them and respect them. And with that, they're going to just naturally gravitate to you. So makes sense.
Now, we talked about ITC. Is there any other investigation tool that you guys use that's fairly new that you think that, you know, that has come out that has been really worthwhile to use?
Any terms of new, like brand new, I haven't really experimented with anything new per se, but I'm one of these that I'm less is more just for me. I don't like putting a ton of stuff out because it could deter energies. So less is more, a good set of environmental monitoring tools and whatnot. If I could put a recorder to my ear, I would. I just really favor the audio experimentation. So EVP, yes. ITC, I often use too, and I know some people frown upon this, adjunct, I call them adjunct metaphysical tools. So like pendulums and divining rods, not to necessarily pay sole attention to those, but to kind of use them in conjunction with recorders and whatnot. The ovilus we use, but again, I don't pay attention to it by itself. If a word or phrase comes up and it coincides with a personal experience or maybe an EMF spike or an EVP, that's something. I always look for things that puzzle pieces that can be put together.
Right.
So that's what I look for. So for me, it's more about the audio. There are some newer ITC devices that I would like to experiment more with.
And there's some basic stuff that's out there. I can tell you about one thing that we use that the ghosts have even commented on. And this is crazy. They used to sell these things, and they were like a gag thing. Firefly in a jar.
Oh, yeah.
And I have had ghosts comment on the Firefly. Because you can do yes or no questions with it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, trigger items, you know. I mean, even cat toys. I've even used cat toys on. Some of those employing like the Singapore theory or trying to dress up or do something that matches that era where the spirits lived in. So that we've experimented with that as well. Another, now this takes some, other people have done this. It takes some patience is I've jotted down questions ahead of time. And I would have two recorders, at least two, and I would have to notate the time, and I would telepathically ask these questions.
There you go.
And so I would notate exactly on recorder time when this question was asked, when that question was asked. After I've done that, I would go back and listen to make sure there were no responses. And then I would, almost with the second or third recorder, I would just set that recorder and have the recorder ask the question. Well, that's a different thing. Telepathic, and then I'm talking about two different things. So telepathic questions where you just have at least two recorders out, telepathically ask, jot down the times at which you asked it, and then to kind of get a general idea. And then also pre-record questions. That's when you would have to go back and listen to make sure you don't capture as you did it. If you didn't, then set that second recorder out and have the questions just ask. Oh, it's electronic questioning. And I've actually done that on the Queen Mary and, believe it or not, got responses.
What do you think is the most overrated piece of equipment that you see on TV and people using?
Overrated. Now, this is a good question. Overrated. Man, there's a lot. Probably the SLS Connect is one, but that just because I haven't really had the best, that doesn't mean it doesn't work. I've heard from other people that there's a lot of possibility for false positives. Overusing, I think, environmental technology, environmental monitoring technology. I think some of certain trigger objects can be annoying. There's many. I don't know. What about you? That's a hard one to pinpoint.
We have used the SLS, and the only time I really use it is if one of our mediums is working with us.
Yeah.
Like if the medium will sit there, you know, stand there, maybe there's a stick person next to the medium and there's nothing there, and, you know, she'll say, put your hand out, you know, she'll be in communication with it. But yeah, I think the SLS, if you don't know what you're doing with it, lots of false positives.
Right. Yeah, and that's why I say that. Even the FLIR, which can be very effective.
Right.
But there's, again, with heat signatures that you're dealing with, there could be, you have to really review that sucker. So some of them are the cheaper ones. I don't know with the graininess and the pixelization, if they can give off false heat signatures. I don't know that, but there's more than one. It's hard to know. What about you besides
Well, with us, SLS. We don't use a lot of that fancy stuff. We never have. And I know we've gone on investigations to people's houses where they're disappointed.
Because they see it on TV.
They want to see that stuff from TV. And we just don't do it. I mean, there's nothing like there's nothing like going out there the old-fashioned way, you know, just like those old guys writing the books, hey, wear a T-shirt so you can feel the stuff, you know, move across your body. You can feel the different stuff. But, I mean, we do have an SLS and, you know, and some ITC stuff as well. But, I mean, I don't see a need for a lot of that stuff.
You know? I'm with you on that. And just because a lot of people will think the more expensive, the better, and that's not the case at all. Yeah. The Ovilus is another one. I think that is a very overrated tool, especially the newer models with the digital readout. I think it can be effective, but I think if you're just walking around and you're paying attention to just what that says, you're not doing yourself justice, really doing that.
Well, I mean, I've seen teams take those things out, and I mean, the words will pop up and they'll say, oh, you did this in your life. You know, so they start forming their conclusions for the investigations around what that thing's popping up with.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and with us, it's always like 2 out of 3. I mean, if we're using digital voice recorders, we're using the dowsing rods, we're taking photos, and we've got 2 out of 3 happening, you know, that coincide with each other, and then we can do it, you know, with history and all that, then we've got something.
Absolutely. It sounds like you and I are very similar in terms of our... I can feel it. I know if Allie were here, Allie's the same way. She'd be like, yes. I love it.
A lot of experience, a lot of investigating, you know, like all the other teams, like any team that's worth its weight. You know, you start out doing the commercial stuff. You're going to the old haunted hotels. You're doing all that. But it takes a lot, you know, to step into somebody's house. It took us 5 years before I accepted our first residential.
I respect you for that. That is so commendable. Yep.
You know, and we were scared. I mean, we walked in, we were just like, oh my God, let's just get through this one and we'll adjust our paperwork. We'll adjust stuff for it because, it's scary when you're dealing with somebody's life.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned the word that I think a lot of teams don't put enough emphasis on, and that is paperwork, because it is needed. You need all that. You really do. I know it's annoying, but you need all of that. So. Yeah,
absolutely. And that research, I love that you love the research. I love doing the research too.
Me too.
I love the history of these places.
Oh my gosh, that's the fun part, uncovering all of that. I love doing it. I love it.
Yeah, I love the history of these places. What do you think is, okay, if you look at the U.S., and you've probably traveled more than I have, you know, different haunted places across the U.S., what do you think is one of the most active places, like back east?
Oh my gosh, back east, there's a lot. Oh my gosh, it's hard to pick one. Mm-hmm. In terms of is there any type of location?
Yeah, any type.
Gosh, probably. Well, see, I get into I'm trying to think of real historical spots. There's a lot of places that are so well known that I don't really want to, like Rolling Hills Asylum would be one.
Right.
That's very well known. Places that aren't investigated a lot, but I think would be, just based on the scenario and the circumstances, would be New York City, where the Twin Towers went down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think of places that aren't commonly named. Oh, gosh. I don't know if this is more East Coast. I'm thinking of like Louisiana and Myrtles and a lot of the plantations. The White House, for example, all these places that you would like not think, like, that have never been investigated. So places like that, plane crash sites. I'm going to get off and I'm going to be like, oh wait, I forgot to mention that and forgot to mention this. Eastern, but see, these are all common that have been done.
Eastern State.
I was just thinking of some places that really haven't been investigated, but would be, right? Would be active.
The White House would be crazy, wouldn't it?
The White House would be, the Pentagon. I'm sure like Florida's Walt Disney World, you know, places like that would be.
Well, I'm always looking at Disneyland. When I go to Disneyland, I'm always looking around trying to put my feelers out.
Oh gosh, yeah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine like being the only one or just a few people in that park? I mean, that would be amazing.
There's so many stories that come out of there from cast members.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Walt Disney and all this and the people that leave the ashes, you know, that try to leave the ashes of the Haunted Mansion.
Right. Yep.
You know I can honestly say, if I was dead, as cute as the Haunted Mansion is, that would not be a place I would want to, you know, leave my ashes.
I agree. But I'm with you on that.
Ritz or someplace. I mean, I don't know. There's just something about that. I just wouldn't want to leave my ashes there.
I wouldn't either.
Just, yeah. It's just the stories that are around there. And I'm starting to uncover more and more of these things, you know, as I go through the internet to look. Because I would love to go over there and do a live thing on TikTok just on the ghost alone and do a live feed.
You should do that. That would be cool. I mean, there's a lot of stories associated with our Disneyland in Anaheim. I mean, even, I forget what year it was, but it was that old carousel, and it was, I'm forgetting the name of it, America Sings, I believe it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there was, oh my goodness, there was a girl that got crushed by the moving partitions. And people have had experiences there. I mean, these are like tragic deaths that occurred to these poor people.
Yeah.
I think it's people, America Sings. I remember going on that America when Sings. I was like five.
That people don't realize actually happened there. You know, people don't realize. Because from my understanding is, and I'll probably get in trouble with Disney. Don't hurt me, Disney. They don't declare a death on Disney property. They take them to the hospital before they declare the death. So that
I didn't know that.
That's what I learned.
Something new. Yeah, I didn't know that.
I could be, it could be wrong for all I know, but they don't allegedly, so I don't get sued. They will not declare a death on Disney property because people can't say that somebody died.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, if it's true, I've never heard that. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't surprise me.
But I'm finding more and more stories. I mean, you know, you got the big ones like you talk about the gal in America Sings, you know, the Dolly on the Matterhorn.
Yes.
You know, people know about that one. The kid that haunts the Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean. But I'm finding more. The more I dig, the more I'm finding more stories like about a gentleman that died on or near Big Thunder Mountain, and there's a certain bench that they see him sitting on at night, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, and so I'm sure there's more stories than we know. That would make sense. I know even like back in the Orlando, it was the Tower of Terror. A girl had a heart attack. I think she did pass away. Mm-hmm. She had a heart attack while on the ride. I don't know if she survived or passed away, actually. I forget. But even like battlefields, like Gettysburg, I was supposed to go and I couldn't go. I was bummed with the Ghost Research Society this past summer or last month, actually. But even places like that, I haven't been. Have you been to Gettysburg?
I have not. See, I have this wish list. I just haven't been able to do this stuff.
I know, me too.
I'll be traveling all over the place. Gotta give me an RV and just go, you know.
That's the way to do it. Get an RV and just travel.
Yeah.
Right? Totally.
To go to these places. I mean, I would love to do that. I'm older now, and, you know, it's just one of those things. But, I mean, because I was working all the time, and then my mom and dad got sick, and then that took up 12, 13 years of my life. And the last 5 years, I've been on my own just trying to recover from all that. And hopefully I can get things going again and get out and do
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, you go know? And do your bucket list of places. Yeah. Even, like, abroad, too. There's a lot of places abroad. Like, yeah. Tower of London would be something for me.
Oh, that would be something. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's so many places.
Yeah, it's just the big wish list, big wish list. Well, just think, you know, what we know about ghosts, we're still going to visit them. That's our chance.
That's right?
After we're long gone, people think we're long gone, we're just going to be traveling everywhere.
That's it. Oh, that's what, what I didn't get done in this life. Yep, that's where.
Off we go.
Off we go.
I know when my dad passed, one of his big goals was to go to China.
That was his thing.
He had dreams of China. So when he passed, one of the psychics on my team says, "You're not going to believe this, but," and this wasn't like, and he didn't wait. My dad was one of these impatient people. He passed, figured out he could walk again and all this. And this was about like 20 minutes after he passed. She says, "You're not going to believe this, but he's at the Great Wall of China."
Oh my gosh. And that, when you said that, I envisioned it, because I mean, you, yeah. that's what you think of when you yeah. when you hear yeah. China. That's amazing. Oh yeah, my gosh.
And that's where he was. He had gone to that, and I can pretty well guarantee that he took the boat up the Yangtze Kuang River, because that was one of his dreams too.
Oh my gosh. But, I'm so, that's, see, it's stories like that. I just love hearing yeah. stories like that. Yeah. Very uplifting.
He did not hang out with us at all. He just went, later.
He's like, I'm gone. I'm gone. Out.
I can yeah. walk down for the first time in 10 years. I'm out of here. And that's what he did. You know,
yeah.
But that's how I see it. These places I'm not able to visit now, I'll be there.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, you know, because, yeah, we don't know exactly how, if maybe we can see in the afterlife or whatnot, mm-hmm. or, mm-hmm. but it's that, it's, we're said to have this ubiquitous sense of knowledge, you know, our yep. soul evolves and all of that. So it would make sense to yeah. Be able to travel like that. So
I like to think it's like that movie Made in Heaven, you know, where you can sit there and think about a place.
Yes.
And you're yeah. there. That would be yes. cool.
Oh, that absolutely. Be, that's
that
a good,
be
yeah.
great afterlife. That'd be great.
Good point. Oh, I'm not at all. And that's another thing about this field and doing what I do. It really has taught me a lot about the dying process and what awaits us. NDEs mm-hmm. fascinate the heck
oh, me
out
too.
Of me.
Oh my God. Yeah, me too.
Oh man.
Past life experiences of children.
Yes.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at those, just fascinating. I could talk to you for hours.
Oh, I could talk. I know. I'm sitting here thinking like, oh my gosh, she's in Sacramento. I'm down here. I wish we lived closer. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to, you know, maybe like set something up where we can like.
Yeah, when I make my way down south, and I will at some point within the next
likewise.
Few months or a couple of years, we'll just touch base.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's another touch base.
Absolutely.
So what's next for you?
Well, like I said, this Thursday I'm heading up to the Queen Mary for 3 days because it's the anniversary of her launch. And so I'll be doing a couple book signings, one Thursday and one on Saturday from 12 to noon. And then let's see. I have some. I love to present. I'm sure you do this as well. I present at like libraries and conferences and stuff. Uh-huh. Different topics about the paranormal. So I just did one. Was it last week? Yeah, it was last week. I have some of those coming up in October. Some more podcasts and things like that. Pretty much, and I'm just going, you know, continuing to just kind of do, and I need to get started on another book. I'm just kind of like, which one do I do, you know? So, but that's about it, really. What about for you?
I'm working on building up my presence on TikTok. I've been on TikTok for a while, but I finally think I found something to build it up.
Good.
And something I didn't expect.
I joined it and I haven't yeah. posted yet, but yeah. I'm still kind of like, well, what am I going to do on there? It'll be more like educational. It's not going to be right. like frivolous. Not that's fine, but that's just not me.
But you'd be surprised. But if you get stressed out, okay, that's
it is
where
fun.
You
want to
go.
It is, yeah.
You can find stuff. I have done just a lot of the comedy videos that I've done. Yeah. It's because people can tell when I'm stressed because I'll release like three in a row and go, oh, you're having a bad time. Like, not anymore, you know. But
yeah, like,
I do
yeah.
educational videos. I also do critiques on, you know, on all this crap that people put on the internet. I like to do that.
See, that's good. I need to follow you on there because we do yeah. need more of that.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
And the latest thing that I'm doing, and I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be doing this, tarot cards.
Oh, you know,
I'm building up a huge following right now. And
that is amazing. And so you're actually doing like you're doing like readings.
Yeah, I'm
like
doing a three-card read, past, present, future. Yeah.
I'm going to follow you on TikTok and watch your videos because that's yeah, cool. I haven't gotten around to it. Oh, and another yeah. thing I had a podcast or a show called The Afterlife Chronicles. The archives are still available on Podbean. But I'm debuting a new show called The Life Inspiration Project. And so it'll have paranormal researchers on there and experiencers and cool. Afterlife researchers on there. But I was supposed to start it in the summer, but I'm a little delayed. So I think I'll start recording probably next month. But I'd love to have you on that. That'd be amazing.
I would love to come on.
So I'll start.
I got another show that's debuting in October. And
oh, wow. Good for
I had a gentleman on to talk about campfire stories, and I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. But I wanted to do it. I didn't want to, and I hate to say it. I have people that are going to, you know, and for the people that are listening, don't get me wrong, a lot of you want to bring me stories. But again, I want to focus on real trustworthy material.
I get you, and I respect that.
Yeah, so it's Ghost Stories by it's Ghost Stories by the Campfire.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, good. I can't wait to listen. What do you have a date in October?
I don't yet. I'm just putting it together this week. I got two interviews to do.
Good.
This week, and then I should have a date to set that up. It's going to be a premiere event, trying to, you know, raise some money for the team. Get fantastic. Some new equipment and stuff, so I'm going to do a premiere event over YouTube. But I'm looking forward to doing it. It might be like every other Saturday.
You know, oh, fantastic.
To release it. But, I want to focus on first responders.
Oh, that's amazing. Very, yeah. And that's not focused on enough. So that's going to be amazing. Their stories, they have some of the most amazing, authentic stories out there.
Absolutely.
Keep me posted. Yeah,
I'll do that.
Yeah, I follow you. But, we'll definitely stay in touch. We'll definitely stay in touch. Okay. I mean, honestly, like some of the paranormal shows that I do on this new show, if you ever want to co-host with me.
Sure.
Because I can feel the vibe here. So it's good.
Absolutely.
It's good.
It's good beans. Absolutely. how can people find you?
My main website is Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, D as in dog, and my last name Strickland. So NicoleDStrickland.com. Facebook, my main page at Nicole D. Strickland. I have a group page called We Love the RMS Queen Mary. So I think the handle is We Love Queen Mary. I think it is just We Love the RMS Queen Mary is the name of it. Right. Let's see. I have some other Facebook pages, but not really too active on those. San Diego Paranormal Research.com. Our Facebook page for that is at SDPRS, the acronym. Instagram, author Nicole Strickland. I'm on X, but I don't go on there that much. That's at Nicole SDPRS. YouTube again, Life Inspiration Project. I'll start when I debut the new show, I'll have episodes out on that as well.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's pretty much about it. I'm on TikTok. I just haven't posted yet. So I have to kind of decide.
That's amazing. You have all those memorized.
I had to. And then some of them are like the handles kind of are similar, but I don't know. I guess I'm just used to saying them. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I have to have a sheet on the side just to see
it later. I bet. Yeah.
You know, but thank you. Yeah. I would love to touch more base with you and talk about things and, you know, cases.
Absolutely.
And go over stuff because, I mean, yeah, there's a vibe. There's a definite vibe here.
Definitely a vibe. And I'm just going to say this. I'm going to be cheesy. I don't care. But I thank you so much for your dedication and your devotion to this field. I really, really appreciate it. You know, it's good to know that there's people still out there like that, that really care about what they're doing. So
exactly. Right back at you on that. Okay?
All right.
All right. You have a great evening.
You too. Great, Mr. Evening. All right. You too. Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
Now that was fun. It's fun to find somebody like her who thinks like you, and it's like she says, it's good to know that there's still people out there that are really serious about investigating this stuff. Okay, tomorrow, my guest is going to be Mark Christopher Lee, and he's going to be talking about the British royal family and their connection to UFOs and the paranormal. So be sure to do that at 6:30 p.m. Pacific right here. Also tonight at 10 p.m. Pacific, around 10 p.m., between 10 and 11, I'll be doing tarot readings on TikTok, so come look for me. Like I say, after this show, I do, look at this, I'm sinking down. Good Lord. I do take a dinner break and take care of my animals and stuff, and then I will be back on, but usually between 10 and 11. So come on over and check us out, California Haunts on TikTok. All right, guys, if you like the show, share it with 5 people. If you hated the show, share it with 5 of your enemies. As you know, we're equal opportunity here, just trying to get the word out about our little old show. Otherwise, I will see you tomorrow, and have a great evening, 6:30 p.m., right here. Bye.